Good morning. Going to jump on the line with Chris Shimolinski, Deputy Director of Numbers USA. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So let me get this straight, right? The GOP, at least the leadership anyway, Trump did too, ran on a tax cut, right? Ran on a tax
right.
cut. This was like a long time ago. Like, I don't know, what's it been now? 4 weeks? 3 weeks?
About that.
Yeah. Ran on a tax cut, promised to fix Obamacare, promised to do all this great stuff, right? So now they got just a couple weeks left in Congress where they have power, right? So, I mean, they could use that to, I don't know, implement the second tax cut they promised? No. Fix Obamacare? No. Instead, their goal apparently is to import Indians. Nothing wrong with Indians, except if you're going to use them to take jobs from American college grads. This is absolutely outrageous. No time to do any of the things they promised us they would do just, what, 3-4 weeks ago. She's got no time for that. No time to fix Obamacare. But we got plenty of time to boot U.S. college grads out of their jobs on their butts and replace them with lower paid Indian workers. Tell us about this, Chris. How are they going to do this?
Well, it's actually the H-2B visa program. And this is something that Congress has slipped into these big, massive omnibus spending bills that they usually jam down the voters' throats a couple days before Christmas when no one's paying attention. And what they do is they use that bill as a vehicle to increase these visas because they know that if they brought it to the floor as a standalone bill, it wouldn't get the votes that it needs to pass. And nobody's going to oppose a spending bill just because it has visa increases in it. So that's the way that they're going to do it. Right now, the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security spending bill that was passed out by the Appropriations Committee over the summertime includes an increase in H-2B visas. So that bill could be part of some sort of spending deal that comes to the floor and over the next couple of weeks in Congress. They have to pass something before December 21st or risk a shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security. And then there's also this memorandum of understanding that we've learned about between some staffers of some Republican congressmen and lobby groups for business groups. Business lobbyists, and they've agreed to draft legislation that would permanently double the H-2B visa number immediately, effectively. So, and again, it's, you know, what these visa programs do, what these foreign worker programs do without the proper protections for American workers is they add extra job competition, which forces American workers out of jobs, and it puts downward pressure on their wages because the foreign workers are willing to work for much lower wages than typically American workers are willing to work for.
Chris Shimolinski, Deputy Director of Numbers USA, even more outrageous, okay? The Department of Homeland Security, has read this in Breitbart, is opposing the amendment. They don't want it in their own funding budget because it's bad for the interests of the American people. And yet the Republicans are trying to ram it down their throats.
Right, right. Well, what's happened in past years, in the past couple of years, the way that Congress has worked around this, because they know that, again, it's hard for them to garner up support to increase work visas without any enforcement provisions or anything like that connected to it, or to sneak it into a spending bill like this. So what they've done in the past couple of years is they've given the Department of Homeland Security the authority to increase visa levels if they feel that they need to. So Congress essentially has passed on its responsibility to oversee immigration law and given the discretion to the Department of Homeland Security. And what that does is that shifts the focus of the business lobbyists from focusing on the individual Congress members and has them focusing instead on DHS officials. And they want nothing to do with business lobbies. So typically they just, you know, pass them off and say, okay, we'll give you a small increase. And that's what they've done for the last 2 years. They've increased the visas by about 15,000 in each of the two last fiscal years. So that's what the Department of Homeland Security has come out and said. They said, we don't want this anymore. We don't want you to give us the discretion. If you want visa increases, then do it yourself. Don't pass the buck to us because we're not going to do it anymore.
Now, Breitbart is reporting this, Chris, as literally taking jobs from American college grads and giving them to foreigners on these visas. Are they doing this because Americans can't do these jobs? We're bad at math. We're bad at science. They just need to find somebody who can fill the job. They can't find anybody. Is that the case? What would you say to that?
Yeah, yeah. And this, I think this Breitbart story that you're referring to is a slightly different issue, but also something that they want to sneak into the omnibus spending bill. And what that's going to do is it would lift the per country caps that we currently have on employment-based green cards and some of these foreign worker, guest worker visas that we have. Mm-hmm. Right now, we give out about 140,000 employment-based green cards every single year, but they're capped. So only a certain percentage of them can go to India or can go to China or can go to Mexico for that matter. But because of such a large, right now, there's this massive backlog for Indian workers, for example, for employment-based green cards, because there are so many of them that have basic computer skills and that companies want to hire because, again, they're willing to work for a lot less than American workers are willing to work
for. But are there American workers to do the jobs?
There are absolutely American workers to do the jobs. But what the problem is American workers have mobility. So what they can do is they can take a job with, let's say, IBM. And if they don't like the pay that they're receiving or the benefits that they're receiving a year or two into that job, they can hop and move on to Facebook. Well, what happens with these foreign workers is they're locked in. They're locked into that position for the 6 or 7 years that they're on the temporary visa, and then they're locked in for a few years once they get an employment green card. So it's 10, you know, it could be 10 to 15 years before they are allowed to move into another job. So basically, for those 10 to 15 years, the employers control the worker. So that's why they would prefer to hire foreign workers for some of these entry-level jobs than hiring American graduates.
Now, you were also talking about, this is not just visas to take white-collar jobs away from Americans. You say there are Americans to do these jobs, but this is also at the blue-collar level as well?
There is, yeah, yeah. So one of the visa programs that they're looking to increase, and that's the one that they've increased through the spending bill the last couple of years, the H-2B visa program, which is a low-skilled visa worker program. This has been typically used by employers to bring in things like landscapers, food service, hotel workers, some more of the lower-skilled jobs that have traditionally been held by teenagers or Americans who have a high school degree or less, or even Americans that have less than a college degree, or even some college graduates that may be in between jobs, so they get one of these jobs just to make ends meet in between. But what we've seen is we've seen business push for an increase in these visas, and as these visas have increased over time, we've seen the unemployment rates and the participation rate for teen workers and for lower skilled workers in the economy drastically go down. So, for example, only about 50% of Americans with a high school degree or less are actually working in the United States. So there's this whole pool of American workers that are willing to take these jobs, but employers simply don't want to hire them.
Is that in part because of what you just said, when a person comes in on a visa, wow, you could totally control them. I mean, you wouldn't have to give them a raise for 15 years and they can't do a thing about it.
Yeah, that's
they can't
part
go get
it.
Another job.
Yeah, there's a number of factors. Number one, they're tied to that job, so you know that they're not going to move around. The second thing is, especially if they've worked in the country for fewer than 5 years, employers don't have to pay payroll taxes on them.
Yep,
so
I've
they
said
can
that
pay. They can pay a foreign worker $10 an hour, and they can pay an American worker $10 an hour. But they technically, the American worker costs more because they don't have to pay the 15% payroll tax that they pay on the American worker to the foreign worker.
This is ridiculous.
So right there, they save on payroll.
This is ridiculous, Chris. We ought to. I don't care. Social Security's going broke. Let's make them pay payroll taxes on everybody. I don't care if you're on a green card or not.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's,
that would be
outrageous.
Such an easy change. And it might dissuade some of these employers from relying on cheaper foreign labor, because, again, that's one of the benefits is that these workers. But the other thing, too, is, again, these are guest workers coming in. These are low-skilled guest workers. So these are workers coming up from Mexico or Central America or from other countries. And down there, $10 an hour is a lot of money to them, mm-hmm. where $10 an hour isn't a huge sum here in the United States. So they're extremely willing to pay $10 an hour because they're guest workers. So they'll work for the $10 an hour, save up all that money, go back to Mexico where it's worth twice as much as it is here in the United States. So that's one of the reasons why these foreign workers are willing to work for much, much less and why they're so enticing to employers.
So what you've just described to me is a situation in which employers essentially want slave labor. You can't leave your job. Not allowed to. Can't do that. You lose your visa. Don't have to give them raises. Oh, and by the way, we don't have to pay payroll taxes for the first 5 years on the foreigners. So we're just going to skip over the Americans, no matter how qualified. Take the foreigners. That's a tax avoidance scheme is what that is. That's not that's not tolerance. That's tax avoidance.
Right. And not only that, but, you know, a lot of the Democrats, for example, they'll slam big business because of unfair business practices and employment practices and things like that. But essentially what these low skilled, especially the low skilled visa programs, but also the higher skilled visa programs, all they are is they're basically corporate welfare. As you said, they're helping these employers bring in cheap foreign labor to save them costs. And it ends up boosting their bottom lines.
Yeah, and even worse, Chris, is the fact that apparently our Congress members, our Republicans, are literally selling U.S. jobs, selling U.S. jobs to foreigners for political profit, for political donations. Here, we'll take the jobs that our college grads could have done. We'll let the corporations use foreign workers as a tax avoidance scheme, and we'll pocket the political contributions. It's terrible to do this to your fellow Americans.
Yeah. There's a lot of Republicans that are on board with doing this. So, in fact, one of the bills that's been offered in Congress that would make these changes to the H-2B program that they're looking to slip into the spending bill, it was introduced by Andy Harris, who's a Republican from up in Maryland, and his territory covers the Chesapeake Bay. So what he's trying to do is help out the seafood processors who, I'm sure, make pretty lucrative campaign donations to him. So he's just looking to protect them. Meanwhile, there's this whole pool of low-skilled workers from the Baltimore area that have done these jobs historically, but are now being pushed out of these jobs because we're bringing in foreign workers to do it.
It's outrageous. It's just outrageous, and I don't know where we turn to stop it. Christian Malinsky, Deputy Director, Numbers USA, thanks as always for helping us get the truth out there.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, Rudolph's got to go. Dreaming of a white Christmas. That's got to go, too. It's snowing outside. Come inside. Yep, got to go. Little Mermaid, out of here. Misogynistic. Toxic masculinity rejected by the Princeton a cappella choir. Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Racist, sexist, homophobic. Gotta go. We're not going to have anything left culturally in this country at the rate that we are now going. Talked about this earlier in the show. Here's the list. Now, here's why I make a big deal of these things, okay? Because this way it works in this country. I don't know why it works this way, but it does. One liberal somewhere. Not even have to be a liberal whose name you know. It could be some random obscure liberal. Like this woman. Her name is Jennifer Sinclair. She is the principal of a school called Manchester Elementary School in Omaha, Nebraska. Okay, so it all it takes is one of them to declare a thing racist, sexist, homophobic, Islamophobic, transphobic. Did I miss one? And it's done. It's dead. It begins to spread, and the rule takes effect. It's a social rule. It's not a legal rule for now. And then offense could be taken. And so because offense could be taken, you don't dare to display whatever it is. Okay. Jennifer, the principal, has banned at her school candy canes because the J shape stands for Jesus. Has banned them. So this is the list she put out, the memo. Santas or Christmas items on worksheets can't be shown. Christmas trees in classrooms, no way. Elf on a shelf, got to go. That's Christmas related, she writes. Singing, this is from her list. Singing Christmas carols, playing Christmas music. Making Christmas ornaments as a gift. This assumes the family has a Christmas tree, which would assume they celebrate Christmas, she writes. I challenge the thought of, well, they can just hang it somewhere else. Christmas cane, candy cane, she says. J's for Jesus, the red's for the blood of Christ, and the white is a symbol of his resurrection. That would also include different colored candy canes. She's covering herself just to be sure. No red slash green items. That's got to go. They're traditional Christmas colors. No reindeer and no Christmas videos, movies, or characters. Now here's the irony. She put out a corresponding list of acceptable practices. Watch, this is going to get picked. You're going to see this gets picked. It only takes one of them to declare something a rule, and then it's a rule. Among the acceptable things, you can have hot chocolate, polar bears, penguins. No reindeer, though. Yetis. Those are abominable. Yetis are abominable. Abominable snow persons. That's what they are. Olaf from Frozen, that'll be okay. I don't know. He's looking a little gendered to me. I don't know. She might want to rethink that. And listen to this. The most. Oh, by the way. Yes, you can have gingerbread people. Not gingerbread men or women or boys. Or just gingerbread people. That'll be fine. And she says you also can have snowmen, snow women, and snow people. And snowflakes. Right, because we can't have anything without snowflakes. They got to be included. And get this. Holidays around the world are permitted. These are under her acceptable practices list. So holidays around the world. She says purposeful presentation of information to teach about different cultures. So whatever their holidays are around the world, you can have that as long as it's not Christmas. So you know what we're saying here? Just listen to this. Okay, so holidays around the world. We can talk about what every other culture except Western or Christian culture celebrates. But anything else is fine, but except for Christmas. That's outrageous. It's outrageous. And as you watch, now watch this catch on now. No candy canes. Now, let me ask you for a second. I mean, if there are other holidays you're celebrating, for instance, Islam, Ramadan. Every holiday in law Islam is not secular. They're religious. So this isn't even separation of church or state here. It's just separation of Christianity and state. All the other religions, that'd be fine. It just never ends. Folks, we're not going to be able to celebrate Christmas because literally there's going to be nothing you can display. Nothing you can pull out, nothing you can do. But watch Frozen over and over again. And heck, my family already does that. So, Lee, the Republicans in Congress really want to shut you up.
Do they really?
Yes, and me too. They'll do just about anything to shut us up. Especially online. Well, here's how they're doing. It's brilliant, actually. And problematic. This is what happens when you don't read the legislation. You know, Trump is renegotiating NAFTA, which is good.
Right.
Okay. So, and he cut the trade deal, the historic trade deals with Canada and Mexico. That's good, too, to replace NAFTA. So he's given Congress a choice. Either you pass my legislation, which is called USMCA. It's a replacement for NAFTA that will close the NAFTA loophole. Or
it's fun to pass the USMCA.
Yes. USMCA. So, yeah. Or they can either pass the USMCA or Trump will just dropkick NAFTA. Right. It's just going to get rid of it. It's going to tear it up. We'll go back to the way it was before NAFTA.
Right.
Either way, NAFTA loophole closes and we win what will likely be millions of jobs. But if USMCA passes Congress, we lose. You, me, conservatives, anybody who disagrees with the elites, basically, on social media. Congress wrote the USMCA. Okay, so what happened was that and we don't know who specifically. These things just come out of, you know, committees, and it's lobbyists who write them. But what they did was they took everything that Trump negotiated with Mexico and Canada, whatever, wrote it up into a bill because Congress would have to pass it, right? Well, guess what somebody slipped in there? This is as terrifying as it is totalitarian to me. Legal protections for Facebook, Twitter, social media, Google, Apple, whoever, to censor political speech they disagree with. Now, right now, they don't have that. And they're on borrowed time. And you know, you and I have talked about this before. They're supposed to be neutral platforms. So they have to publish everything that comes their way, unless it's, you know, criminal. It's like child porn or something. They have to publish everything that comes their way in order to get protection from libel lawsuits. So if you go on there and you say something terrible about your ex-husband, it's not true. He sues you for libel. He can only sue you. He can't sue Facebook. And I've explained this before. We don't have that protection here. The rest of the media doesn't have that protection. So if somebody calls here, says something terrible, that's untrue or whatever, we could be sued for libel if we don't take certain steps. So we don't have that protection. But that special protection was given to Facebook and all these other platforms, or they'd have been sued out of existence a long time ago. Well, they now don't want to be neutral platforms. They want to, infect their platforms with the correct thought and get rid of the other incorrect thoughts, right? So we got a problem here. They got a problem. They will eventually be class action lawsuit sued by conservatives, and they will lose unless Trump's USMCA law pass or treaty. It's not treaty. It's a trade agreement passes. somebody slipped into the congressional version of this. Legal protection, legal immunity from lawsuits arising from censorship. So this reiterates what this bill of Trump's does is allows the tech platforms to keep their immunity from libel lawsuits, which would very quickly bankrupt them. I mean, that wouldn't take but a week of stuff, the libelous stuff written on their platforms. They'd just be bankrupt. And so it lets them do that, and it lets them censor and protects them from lawsuits against anybody they discriminate against. And it's in the trade agreement, which means if it passes Congressly, that in order for Americans who have been censored because of their political beliefs to sue the companies, they would have to get Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. Congress to agree to let them sue.
Like that's ever going to happen.
It'll never happen. And because Mexico and Canada don't really have First Amendment rules like we do,
right?
This would actually violate some of their laws if they let us sue here in America. So I guess Trump didn't read this thing when he signed it.
Well,
I mean, he's been on Twitter threatening these tech giants, and he's just given them the ability to censor and silence conservatives without legal repercussion.
Somebody on his staff should have read that. That doesn't necessarily, I mean, I don't expect the president to read every single piece of
legislation. No, he doesn't have time. But
somebody should have analyzed that to see everything that was in there. Another so-called poison pill on a piece of legislation.
Yeah, somebody slipped that in. Right now, Republicans still control the committee, so you can't blame the Democrats. You can't. Somebody slipped that in there. So now we got a problem. So basically, a couple things could happen. The Republicans could take it out before they pass it. That's still an option before the Democrats take over. They could not pass it, in which case we would just default to the old NAFTA, pre-NAFTA rules, and none of this will happen. But if that thing passes,
well, Trump could call them out and veto it.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, he'd have to veto
his own legislation,
his own trade deal.
Yeah.
Which he signed. So it's on him. I mean, that's not good. Let's hope somebody manages to take it out. And again, Republicans control what goes in legislation. They control Congress.
Yeah.
So again, can't blame Democrats, because even if the Democrats slipped it in there,
it's still time.
Yeah.
For somebody to come up with an alternative to the current, leaders of social media.
But there's not with this.
No,
because I'm telling you, because those platforms, if I say it's an alternative to Facebook, they got to be on Google or they're not going to be able to compete. Google just got the ability to say, I don't like DuckDuckGo. There's a white supremacist on it. Dropkick. I mean, we just watched them do that with Gab. I mean, so it's not just we'll have a competition with Facebook and it'll be fine. Well, only if you can find it on the platform. And I mean, Apple this week has come out and said they plan to ban. They're already banning. Everybody they disagree with is a white supremacist, so na-na-na-na-boo-boo. That's what Tim Cook, the head of Apple, said.
Yeah.
We've already seen this with Google. They're writing algorithms to essentially ban access to these places. And this would give them the legal ability to just kick off sites they don't like. So, I mean, there's not going to be, I mean, when people say that, I'm just kind of like, what competition? You mean if Google lets them? They've already vowed to censor in their own internal documents. They're not going to be in competition. Where would it go?
It was interesting. I came across, and I can't remember what this is. It was in one of these liberal publications, The Atlantic or something or other. But there was some left-wing writer that was actually pointing out that the situation with Alex Jones, InfoWars guy that got, deplatformed, they're actually pointing out that, like, guys, this is a little dangerous here. I mean, this is a left-wing writer who's, he's a white supremacist and all this other stuff. And
he's not.
But he said this is really a little bit dangerous because we are giving these folks a lot of power that they shouldn't be getting.
Yeah, and I'm shocked that the left hasn't stood with us on this. Let me tell you why. Because the left just had their party taken over, and Hillary Clinton's people essentially determine the outcome of a primary. So, I mean, do they think they're going to be allowed to choose their own Democrat leaders after this? Do they think they won't be censored when they scream bloody murder about the Clintons or whoever, whatever elites are, engineering victories artificially in their party? Do they think they seriously think they're going to be allowed to go online and have conversations? Because they're not.
Yeah.
They're not going to be allowed to. I mean, that'll happen real quick once they get to pretend that the only people who are going to be allowed to speak are those who speak for the elites.
Right.
And if you watch what the elites are doing, They're hurting middle class and lower middle class people in terrible, terrible ways, regardless of their partisan affiliation. I mean, the left is foolish here to let us be silenced. They're just foolish. They will come for them so fast.
Yeah, they will not be long.
No.
When they'll be after the Bernie Sanders and the crazy girlfriend eyes and crazy eyed girlfriend and all of the other folks that are on the left side of the left. They'll be coming after them next.
Texter writes, Alex Jones and Roger Stone are meeting Trump in Florida for Christmas and are letting Trump know about the censorship in the trade. I hope so. Somebody's got to tell him. Do I have to do everything myself? Do I have to drive down to Mar-a-Lago
and sit there until... That's probably it.
I guess I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I do.
Crank up the mom-mobile and head down to Mar-a-Lago.
The mom-mobile. Yeah, complete with three screaming kids in the back.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's great. Even when the kids aren't in the car, there's a recording that plays over and over. Mom! Oh, stop! No, but you know what this shows, though, Lee? That the fact that obviously the social media lobbyists have gone to this degree, right?
Yeah.
To do this. This shows where they intend to go. They intend to get Congress to give them legal protection to censor you politically. And at that point, I mean, when the platforms themselves, the Googles and stuff, can do that, free speech dead in this country. It's over. It's done.
Instead of doing it constitutionally, they're doing it corporationally.
Yes. With the help of Congress.
Yeah, sadly.
Scary times we live in. And folks, this is when you're going to see, they succeed this, you're going to see them take Trump's Twitter account. Wait for it. It's happening. It'll happen. It will happen before 2020. Send Vince with the bill. Oh, the copy of the Trump's bill that it will silence his entire base. Yeah, no, look, I don't think Trump read that. There's no way that Trump would have signed that if he knew it was in there. But shame on his legal team for missing it. You got to admire their sense of humor. I mean, they used Trump's USMCA bill, which is the replacement for NAFTA that he miraculously negotiated. So, I mean, it's a good set of principles, closes the NAFTA loophole. But again, in it, the tech companies have gotten somebody to slip, and the GOP Congress wrote it, gotten somebody to slip absolute protection from them so that people like you and I, when we're censored for being too conservative or disagreeing with Tim Cook or the CEOs of Facebook, Apple, Twitter, Instagram, that we can't sue them. They literally are writing themselves legal immunity from conservatives in Trump's own bill, which he signed. He must have missed it. Because he's been threatening to go after them, so there's no way. I mean, it's just the irony. They must be laughing. They are just laughing up a storm about this. Anyway, it's not a done deal. Don't get cynical about it. It hasn't happened yet. We're just realizing it's in there. Thank God Breitbart caught it. Well, folks, this is why they got to censor Breitbart. You might know what, so if you knew what was going on in your country, you'd flip out. They got to make sure you don't find out. And folks, think about this. This paves the way for what they want to do. You can see the low-hanging fruit was Alex Jones. Alex Jones and his crew do some excellent and awesome reporting. They managed to, force the FBI to retract its own timeline in the Vegas shooting because its timeline was a total lie. They managed to do that, right? And so Alex Jones is while he has had some kooky stuff on his site, he's very dangerous to them, but he's low-hanging fruit. They can say, conspiracy theorists, and they take him, they deplatform him, right? And then Tim Cook, the head of Apple, who deplatformed him, took his podcast off, says, he's a white supremacist. No, he's not. Alex Jones is a lot of things. He's a guy who could use a little medication, but he is also a genius who is not a white supremacist. He's not. And so you know what they want to do? They got to get Breitbart and the Daily Caller. They have got to get a hold of them. They were posting bigger hits than everybody but New York Times and MSN before the election. They can't have that out there. So they have got to get ahead of them legally, and they've got to have the ability to censor them, but they also have to censor the inevitable backlash that would happen after you took them down. I mean, these are huge, huge media organizations with massive followings. So, I mean, the only way you could use the Alex Jones precedent to go after those companies, because they're a lot bigger than Alex Jones, you've got to, the Gateway Pundit, places like that, you've got to be able to censor the backlash to it in order to get away with it. Eventually, you'll have to go after Fox. And I think that's where they'll go eventually for now. Fox is just too big of a microphone with Breitbart and Daily Caller beside it. So that's what they've done. They've slipped this into Trump's NAFTA deal. Complete legal protection from them. You cannot sue them for discrimination. Oh, it's genius. It's brilliant. Texter writes, Terry, you should branch out and do a few big national interviews here and there. You have the appeal and you're 100% more credible than any lamestream talking head. Oh, thank you. I'll put it on my to-do list. It's very long. Texter writes, doesn't China own Tim Cook? I call him Tim Cook. He's Cook. He's head of Apple. I know they own the head of Google, so yeah. Texter writes, didn't you say a few days ago that even if USMCA doesn't pass, NAFTA still goes away? Well, that's if the liberal judges allow it. Remember, they rule by fiat. NAFTA still goes away, and we go back to the rules before NAFTA. Theoretically, yes. Wouldn't that avoid the censorship protection? Yes, and it may ultimately be what Trump wants. Because the pre-NAFTA America was a lot better place for American business than even the USMCA would be. Texter writes, Alex Jones is bigger than CNN. It depends on which way you count the hits. If you're talking about pure streaming, yes, more people are used to. I don't know what it is now before the censorship and the deplatforming. If you talk about hits to the website, CNN still has more. Again, that's before the deplatforming. I don't know what it is now. I'm sure he's taken a big hit. No pun intended. Didn't you? All right, so Texter writes, where did it go? Oh, Alex Jones. Yeah, but Alex Jones, but I mean, arguably, yes, Total Hits, Alex Jones probably was comparable to CNN before the censorship. Depending on if you take podcast streaming, all of that kind of stuff and count it, and you put it side by side. I mean, CNN has very, very low viewership, but they have tremendous hits off their site. And that's how they're able to do so much damage. Texter writes, you have done it again, young lady. Awesome show for Thursday. Oh, well, thank you very much. And finally, two steps forward, one step backwards. That's how it's been with the elites. Yes, it is. We don't know how it all ends, but it's like a train wreck. I can't look away.